In the dead of night, when the moon is high and ill winds blow, and the banshees cry and the moonlight casts an unearthly glow, arise, my love, with tales of woe.
Good evening. It is 12 midnight, the paranormal hour. Welcome to Ghost to Ghost. I'm your host, Chief Lawson. Ghost to Ghost is a podcast to discuss all paranormal and parapsychology subjects. You can find Ghost to Ghost on all major formats, so tell your friends, tell your family. Come listen to Ghost to Ghost. Topic for tonight is, what is a paranormal group? Who is Spirit Indiana Paranormal, and what is it that we do? Tonight, my guest host is Andrew Brooks, my Chief of Staff on Spirit. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Thank you, Chief. You know, it's always funny. I'll walk around in an abandoned building with all the lights off in the middle of the night, and I'm not nearly as afraid of that as I am hearing my own voice on this. So,
as I recall, you don't like to be filmed either.
No.
That brings back some interesting thoughts. Today is our inaugural broadcast, so tell your friends. This is the first episode of Ghost to Ghost, and let's start off, Andrew. Tell me, what is a paranormal group?
Well, you know, it's funny, Chief, because, as you know, there's a lot of misperceptions on what a paranormal group is. You know, first of all, it's a group with a common interest in a topic. You know, whether it's an investment club or a tennis club, it's very similar to that. The people in our group come from many walks of life. Some are professionals, some are public servants, some are roller derby players. They cover all walks of life. What brings us to, you know, what makes them actually take the step forward to join a group? Everyone has their own reasons. Most people have their own paranormal experience at some point in their life that they want to understand better. Some people have faced death and they want to understand death and the afterlife, worrying about their own immortality.
That's nothing unusual. I mean, we've had a member a while back in our group that wanted to know, you know, what was on the other side. There was a big issue there to ensure that he could determine if there was an afterlife. So, yeah, I agree there. I agree wholeheartedly.
So, if somebody's thinking about forming a group, you know, there's a lot of ways to form a group. You have to understand what your methodology is. You know, some groups start very simply. Get some friends together and investigate graveyards at night. Always make sure that it's acceptable, that you're not breaking any laws doing that.
Trespassing and whatnot.
Trespassing, so forth. But, you know, some groups look for more of the formal, you know, the Waverly Sanatorium, the Mansfield Prison, the organized ghost tours where they do their own investigations. And some people, like us, will work with people at personal residence, and that's a lot of what you see on the TV, and that's also what we do. People have had scary experiences in their house, and they're asking for help.
Why don't we ever investigate cryptids or ufology?
Because it's a different area of expertise. It's not, you know, our paranormal covers a very wide area, including cryptids and ufology. Our expertise is in the area of ghosts and spirits, and that you can't be an expert in everything.
No, and that's a big enough area to cover as is, isn't it?
Yes.
Andrew, was there something in your life in particular that maybe inspired you to join Spirit and get into the research of parapsychology and the paranormal?
Well, like I said, everybody always has some type of paranormal experience. Many people in our group have a paranormal experience that draws them in. And I did too when I was young. You know, now, first of all, I'm not into, you know, I'm a skeptic by nature. I'm very analytical. You know, I don't go looking for scary experiences. But in my family, when my great grandmother died, my grandmother was away at school. She came home, you know, one night in August. where she was staying, homes weren't air conditioned then. She went down to the living room, laid out her blankets, laid on the floor. As she was laying on the floor, she heard something coming towards her, didn't really think anything of it. When she woke up in the morning, her shoes were right by her head. Were by her head, and her mother died that night. Okay, so that's a family folklore. Don't really think that much about it. Except when my grandmother died, I was 13 at the time, laying in my bed, and I heard something on the side of my bed. Knew there wasn't supposed to be anything there, and I turned on the lights and looked over there, couldn't find anything. Came down that morning, and my mom was talking to me, and she said that, Andy, I need to tell you something. Last night, she was sick, and she had to come down to sit in her recliner. During the middle of the night, she felt someone touching her feet, feeling at her feet. She got up, she turned on the lights, she looked over there, did not see anything, got up, checked the doors of the house to make sure the doors were all locked, went back to bed. She goes, last night your grandmother made a turn for the worse, and she's probably going to die today. Okay, that's kind of interesting. I go to get ready, can't find my shoes. They were upstairs, in front of my door, where I couldn't have closed my door that night.
Wow.
Now, a couple of weird things about that night is that my grandmother, as she went to bed that night, she begged the people at the nurses, she was in the hospital, she begged the nurses to let her say goodbye to my grandfather. And the nurses, you know, thought she was just being crazy. But she died that night, you know. Mm-hmm. She made a turn for the worse and died within about 12 hours after that.
Wow. Wow. Well, that would certainly be something that would lead you this direction, wouldn't it?
The funny thing about that is that, you know, my mother died years later, you know, many years ago. Mm-hmm. After that, nothing happened at that time.
Oh, really?
So, you know, I always use, I keep looking for the blinding light of the obvious. I keep looking for the personal evidence. Did I not just make this up in my head? Again, I know absolutely what happened, and that's what drives me, but I always, you know, all my own little doubt, my own questions are always there.
You know, ever since Andrew came on the team, he's always used that phrase, looking for the blind light of the obvious, and I like that. I think that's a good way to look at it. There's too many teams that don't have skeptical minds on them, I think, at times, and you need one of those. You really do. Someone who can subjectively look at evidence, that certainly helps out a lot. So,
Chief, you mentioned forming the group. Who would you like to share with the audience who Spirit is and what we do?
Sure. Spirit is a Indiana-based parapsychology group. We always say it's parapsychology more than it's paranormal because we actually only do, as we said earlier, we only investigate ghost sightings, and we don't handle any of the cryptid, ufology, and so forth. And actually, if we get right down to it, in the parapsychology, we don't do the entire parapsychology field, only the proof of life after death. We started back in 2002, and that's when we formally started. And we actually started the group up more like 2001, but we had a break for 9/11 and so forth. And by the time we actually got the group formally together, got the name and everything, it was 02. It was two of us, myself and Ed Adams, who has since retired. He was the other co-founder of the group. And we put it together, and we talked about it long before we, needless to say, brought it to volition. But there was only 8 people on the team to begin with. And it was odd. The first night, right off the bat, 2 dropped out. So we ended up with 6 people. And the emblem, we just kind of designed that ad hoc. We decided we wanted, of course, we'd watched a lot of TAPS episodes, and we liked the acronyming of the name, so we turned around and decided we needed an acronym. So we took the word SPIRIT first, broke it down, Special Paranormal Investigation Research Indiana Team, and then we said, okay, it's Indiana, so we need the state on the back of it. So we put the state in there, and then we found a ghost we liked, and we put that in, and that became our first emblem. It's now the team emblem, so mostly only the team members wear that emblem. That's where it all began. Geographically, we kind of decided Indiana, we would cover the whole state. Now, there are some deep reaches in the north and really far south that are a couple hours away, and sometimes we have to look at a hotel room to do it, but we still cover the entire state. Now, if it goes outside the state a little bit, sometimes we'll investigate a case. Sometimes we give it to other groups that we know in that state. We had that happen in Ohio here not long ago, and we had one in Michigan not long ago that called us. Yeah, I think for the most part, the group went really well when it was formed. And honestly, we didn't have matching clothing. We certainly didn't have matching vehicles. I don't think the only emblem we had was what we drew on a piece of paper. We still have the original film of the first investigation. I'll tell you what, it was a little ragtag. Our cameras were from Swan, then we bought them at Menards Hardware Store, and we had four cameras. I think we had one camcorder, we had one one EMF detector, and maybe one or two recorders. And some of these recorders were used when some of us were in college to take dictation. So we started off with some really bare bones equipment, but we got some good results. We were looking for some place to investigate, and we were actually asked to come to the very first investigation we had. So, you know, it was a little bit of a rocky start, but by God, you know, we've come a long way, baby. You know, that's what I can say. And, you know, in the last 20 years, we've certainly come a long way.
Chief, you mentioned personal experiences. Do you have a personal experience that you'd like to share with the audience?
Sure. I think the reason that I got into parapsychology was many, many years ago when I was very, very young. My dad always told me a story about how he saw and talked to his mother after she passed away. Now, my father grew up very, very poor. There was five children in the family, and their mother died. My grandmother died very early on. I would say he was around 10 when this happened, maybe 12 when his mother passed. He had two brothers and a sister, and his father, this happened in Newcastle, Indiana, his father worked for a Chrysler plant that was up there, worked evening, so he was the oldest of the family. It was his responsibility to get the kids in bed and so forth. They were very poor. He always had told me stories about how they, you know, had lost the apartment for a while and had to live out of the back of a station wagon. They would go to the city dump where they were burning trash to stay warm, so it was a very poor, meager existence. They were struggling. And so anyway, my grandfather went to work that evening, and my dad had put the children to bed like they used to. And prior to my grandmother's death, she would come in and comb her long hair out. She was, almost all my family were Scottish, except for my grandmother. My grandmother was actually Cherokee, and it was said she was a Cherokee princess by relation of, I think, her grandmother. And she inherited that title from there. And so anyway, she would comb her hair out on the edge of the bed, and so it was a common practice, and certainly Dad and the kids missed that, because that was the last thing they talked about, and then she'd tuck them in and leave the room. So this was, I'm thinking, a day or 2 days after she passed, and my dad woke up to find her sitting on the end of the bed after she'd passed. She was combing her hair out, and she told my dad that as long as he stayed, you know, with the family and kept everybody together, that they'd all succeed in life, and that she would always be there to help guard and watch over them. My uncle, which was his next oldest in kin, supposedly saw it. For years he denied that he ever seen anything, but Uncle Dick was very, very, very easily spooked, we'll say, and so he didn't really like discussing it. Gave him the heebie-jeebies. Toward the end, near his death, he did discuss it quite frequently, that he had seen it. My aunt and my other uncle both were asleep, and they were very young, and they don't have any recollection of the incident. But I think that hooked me into it. The other half of it, my grandfather, who loved to walk, he loved to do many things when he was living in Arkansas. And I'll tell you, my grandfather for a long time saw a lot of things, and I thought forever he was just freaking nuts, to be quite honest, because he related to seeing ghosts. He told several ghost stories, and he knew I loved these, so he could sit down. It was a common bonding thing for him and I to talk about. But he also seen Bigfoot in Arkansas, and you know, I really didn't pay much mind to it until he showed me the newspaper article the next day from the property next to him, where they took pictures of footprints and everything. And I realized my grandfather really wasn't nuts. He was just very fortunate in life. He'd been exposed to a lot of things. But he had told me ghost stories. So between all of that, that really kind of roped me into parapsychology. I started reading books very young. I'm talking, you know, 10 years old. I was reading Hans Hosler and his books, and starting through them, I have a wide collection going back to the 70s from that time. So, you know, that's how I kind of got into it.
Very interesting. Chief, would you like to share who makes up the group?
Sure. Of course, yourself, which is my chief of staff. Andrew handles marketing. He handles, he's my right-hand guy, second in charge of the group. We have Tim Webb, who is our tech manager. Tim handles all of our equipment, maintains it, has numerous jobs when we arrive on an investigation, anything from synchronizing our clocks to watching over battery usage and so forth. Jennifer Verne, who is sitting right here with us today, she's our research manager, does a wonderful job of looking up and researching cases. She's also the podcast producer. So Heather Lawson, my wife, she's a senior investigator on the group, and she kind of helps train the new members. She's also the podcast director. And then we have Amanda Lyons, our public relations and assistant social media manager. We have Alan Leinberger, who's our case manager. And then we have Selena Romero, who's our social media manager.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that whenever somebody's looking at organizing a group has there are three legs that make up a group. One is the intergroup dynamic. How well do people get along with each other? Do they consider themselves friends? Do they enjoy being in each other's company? Or are they constant in conflict? If you're forming a group, you want to make sure that that leg is strong, that you have good relationships among people. The second leg of forming a group is the day-to-day functioning of the group. How's the website being managed? What, you know, website, podcast, you know, phone service, technical, you know, emails. Are the bills being paid? That is one leg of every group. And then the third leg is, what does the group actually do? What's the main function of the group? Our group is paranormal investigation. So, and that actually applies to every group. But that is, you know, if you're looking at forming a group, you have to make sure all three of those legs are strong.
You know, there's a lot of different methodologies in parapsychology. Andrew, can you explain a little bit what some of those methodologies are that groups use?
Yeah, absolutely, Chief. When it comes to forming a group and what type of methodologies they use, different groups have different approaches. You know, one approach is the anecdotal method. You know, a homeowner says that the past 8 tenants in the house have all moved out because of unexplained circumstances. They have no proof, no reports, but people have broken leases. Okay. Interesting. An interesting data point. They collect that data. They use anecdotal points to form a trend. Okay, that's a good approach. It's one approach. The next approach is what I call the psychic method. Okay, and this covers a wide area. People using spirit boxes, people using Ouijas, people using seances, people getting a feeling, you know, the people who have feelings when they walk into a residence or a location. Okay, dowsing rods would probably also fall under this category. There's nothing wrong with this approach, but it is more of a feeling and one that we don't really care for because we can't calibrate these methods. The third method, and this is the one that we usually go most with, is the debunking method. And, you know, the debunking method is what I call, say, is a more scientific approach. And by using it, when we go into a residence, we look at, you know, the magnetic fields of the house, because magnetic fields have been proven to, from a medical standpoint, to make people feel uneasy. We also look at, you know, cars driving by and what reflections it casts on the wall. We look for why floors creak and can we duplicate it by standing in different locations in the house. Okay. When we debunk everything else, we investigate what's still left. And that's just our approach, you know, and we're not saying one approach is better than the other, because groups of all sorts will claim great success as with their own methods.
Sure.
Okay. But the debunking method works for us, and that's what, you know, that's what we follow.
Outstanding. We've had good success with that over the years. So, folks, at this time, we're going to take a commercial break. This is Ghost to Ghost, and I'm your host, Chief Lawson. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Hi, folks. This is Chief Lawson, the host of Ghost to Ghost. Tonight, Ghost to Ghost is sponsored by Silver Fox Dreams. For all your metaphysical needs, Silver Fox Dreams sells resin items, teas, cleansing items, jewelry, cottage-made canned goods, and smoking salts, as well as meat rubs. Silver Fox does ship domestically and takes all major credit cards, including PayPal and Zelle. You will find Silver Fox Dreams on www.silverfoxdreams.com. Again, that is www.silverfoxdreams.com. You can also find them on Facebook and on TikTok and Instagram at OZTOHUA. Again, that is OZTOHUA. Remember, Silver Fox Dreams for your metaphysical needs.
So, Chief, if somebody would like to contact us, how can they reach us?
Well, Andrew, there's several ways they can get a hold of us. Of course, we have our hotline. We try to reserve that mostly for people who need assistance that have hauntings and are trying to reach us, and that's 317-883-9103. Again, 317-883-9103. You can go to our website at www.spiritindiana.com. And for those that want to know how Indiana is spelled, it's SpiritIndiana.com. And there you'll find links to our Instagram, to our podcast here, Ghost to Ghost. You'll find links to our Facebook page. And Facebook is a good way of sending us a message through there. And then also we have our email address, info@spiritindiana.com. Any one of those, you can get a hold of us, and we'd be more than happy to hear from you. So, how was your voice on the podcast, Andrew?
Well, that's still waiting to be seen, but hopefully it does come through well, because we have big plans for future podcasts. In the months ahead, each podcast will cover some Hoosier haunts, cover more ghost stories, cover more of what goes into forming a group, and share tips among other paranormal investigators of things that we've found. We'd love to answer questions, paranormal questions, in our podcast, and we have special topics such as Paracon and holiday subjects also planned. So, and each podcast will finish off with Jennifer telling a ghost story of the day.
All right, listeners, it's time for our feature ghost story of the day. Today's presenter will be Jennifer Vern, research manager for Spirit Paranormal and producer for Ghost to Ghost podcast.
Selling Grandpa's Ghost, Indianapolis, Indiana. Mary Anderson's 6-year-old son, Colin, began to behave differently soon after his grandfather died. Terrified to roam around the house alone, he refused to go to the bathroom on his own. Soon after his grandfather died, he began seeing his ghost. Afraid to see his ghost again, he would even sit outside the bathroom door while his mother bathed. That's when Colin suggested to his mother that she sell Grandpa on eBay. Mary, stressed out by Colin's behavior, toyed with the idea. How could she convince Colin that his grandfather's ghost would leave? Sell him on eBay of all places? After doing some research, she realized that eBay does not allow sellers to offer intangible items such as spirits or souls where delivery cannot be confirmed. That was when a thought occurred to her. Her father's cane, the one item he was never without. Why couldn't she sell it? In Collins's eyes, his grandfather and his cane were inseparable. As a ploy to ease her son's fears, Mary posted the cane for a 7-day sale. Her only request was that the buyer send a letter to Colin explaining they'd received the cane along with the grandfather and both were doing well. To her surprise, the cane with grandfather attached garnered 137 bids. The winning bid of $65,000 went in an online casino called thegoldenpalace.com. The cane with attached ghost was just one more item this Antigua-based casino added to their collection of oddities. What else did they purchase off eBay? How about a 25,000 grilled cheese sandwich displaying the image of the Virgin Mary? The above sales may have one pondering. Has eBay become a paranormal bazaar for unwanted souls?
Thank you, Jennifer. That was a good story. We covered a lot tonight. As we look back, we covered what is a paranormal group and what is parapsychology. We've covered who is Spirit Indiana, and we talked about methodologies of investigation and the members of our team. We talked a little bit about upcoming episodes, and what to look for in the future. And of course, we had our wonderful Ghost of the Day stories. So thanks again for listening to Ghost to Ghost. I am your host, Chief Lawson. You will find Ghost to Ghost on all major formats on the 15th of the month, starting at midnight, and every 15th month thereafter. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, maybe have a question or subject you'd like to ask about on air or be used on the show, please email us at ghosttoghost@spiritindiana.com. Again, this is ghosttoghost@spiritindiana.com. I want to thank my production staff on Spirit for helping me make these podcasts possible. Until then, see you next time. Stay safe. And remember, the truth is out there. Ghost to Ghost podcast and its contents is the property of Spirit Paranormal LTD, all rights reserved. We welcome you to download and play the podcast and share it with others for personal use. You may not, except with written permission, use or distribute its contents for commercial use. Spirit Indiana Paranormal, covering the Hoosier State since 2002, Indy's oldest parapsychology investigation group. If you are experiencing what you believe to be paranormal issues, reach out to us for help at www.spiritindiana.com or at our hotline 317-883-9103. Again, that is www.spiritindiana.com or our hotline at 317-883-9103. Thank you for listening.